By the way, that's Mr. Nile Rodgers on guitar. You recognize those licks? Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to split this up. I told you I'm going to be coming back to happiness, and we are going to come back to happiness. But let's do it this way. Bear with me. Let's talk about some more tips that I know a lot of people have been really able to benefit from. People, parents and their children. As we share some more tips on parenting from the great Amy Morin. At what age do you think parents should really begin to let their children just kind of direct themselves more with less, I'm almost reluctant to use the word, interference from the parents? At what age? 12? 19? 24? Where should the child be in his or her life when they get to the point where the parents are directing less? I'm not saying that the parents are just completely hands off. No, I don't mean that, because remember, I've shared with you before that one of the beauties of the parent-child relationship is that as long as the parent and the child are both alive, the parent is always the parent. Now, that doesn't mean the child grows up, gets married, has children, has her own household, that their parent runs that other household. No. That's not what I mean. But there are times when even adult children are going to be calling their parents for advice, guidance, direction about any number of things. It could have to do with parenting. It could have to do with buying that first home. It could have to do with buying that first car. It could have to do with making some selections about school. It could have to do with a number of things. And that's part of the beauty, again, of family relation. As long as they're both alive, they're all alive, the parents are always the parents, the children are always the children. But that's it. Back to my question. At what point would you say that the parents' intervention in the life of the child is really amounting more to interference than support? Well, Amy talks about this guy who was CEO of his company. He actually founded the company and was serving as CEO of that company. He was one of a number of CEOs who had been invited by Amy to write to her and give some tips for living. Basically, words of wisdom. And so she wants, you know, get these tips on basically how we live successfully. There was this one gentleman who wrote to her, responded to her. I mean, she's the one putting it out there. And she's asking for people to respond. Now, we know that just because we're asking for the feedback, we're asking for the input, we're asking for the tips, etc., that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to accept everything that's submitted to us. Well, this one gentleman wrote back with some tips. Amy saw the tips that he sent as being redundant. They'd been mentioned so many times before that she really didn't see any benefit to including his tips in her article. So she didn't. Sometime later, she received some correspondence encouraging her to accept his tips, with some new tips added to the ones that had been sent to Amy originally. This new correspondence had come from the CEO's mother. Yes, apparently they'd had a conversation about this opportunity to have his tips included in Amy's article, and the fact that he had not had his tips accepted. And so mom decided to intervene. Now, in a case like that, this man is old enough. I don't know what his age is, but he was old enough to be the founder and the chief executive officer of his company, which he was currently running. And yet mom stepped in to say, you need to accept some tips from my son and include them in your article. He's a good person. What kind of message, even though she didn't intend, what kind of message do you think she was really sending? Now, what I mean by that is this. Certainly, the mother had an intended message. What do you suppose was the actual message? Or we could ask it this way. The mother had an intended purpose. Goal. What do you think was the actual outcome? Obviously, she wanted her son, her grown adult business owning CEO son, to be perceived a specific way. How do you suppose she caused him to actually be perceived as a result of her intervention? Well, that was an extreme example. By the way, a real story, true story. And it's an extreme example, but many parents do similar things with their children. Correcting their homework. Day after day, correcting the children's homework. While it's healthy to support your child's academic efforts, most parents aren't just pointing out mistakes. They're fixing the mistakes because they can't stand the thought of their children going to school with mistakes on their papers. Well, fixing your child's mistakes, okay, notice what we're saying now, actually fixing your child's mistakes shows that you're more concerned with the grade than with your child's ability to learn. And it can lead kids to believe that success is defined by their final grade or the score of the game, regardless of what they learned in the process. It really is important. It really is. Ladies and gentlemen, it really is important that we're teaching our children a wide spectrum of values. So it's really not a bad thing, per se, to teach our children that it is good to make good grades. That is not a bad thing at all. If we want our children to get to the point where they're experiencing greater and greater levels of success, they'll be needing to make good grades. Nothing wrong with valuing good grades. Think about the impact on the psyche, on our emotions, when we make good grades. Compare how we respond to a B or an A compared to how we respond to a D. So it's not bad to have good grades, but what about the learning process also? That's valuable. Yeah, it really is. It is valuable to know how to learn. So we teach study techniques. We teach discipline so that not only do we know how to study, but also we have a program, a system in place that motivates us to sit down and do the studying. It's one thing to know how to study, be taught how to study, how to use memorization techniques, for example. How to study, that's critical. But if once we've learned the hows, the how-tos, we don't sit down to do it, well, that how-to may benefit us at some point down the road, but it's sure not going to benefit us when we're in that period where we're not studying, despite the fact that we know how. Yeah, the learning process is important too. Teacher doesn't want to know what you can do, what the parents can do. The teachers need to know what information the child retains and understands. So don't prevent your child from going to school with a few wrong answers sometimes. Also, ask yourself, do you work best when your boss is standing over your shoulder pointing out each error that you make? Or do you prefer time to review your work in privacy before sharing it with other people? Some kids need a lot of support in order to stay on task. But most kids need a little space. And giving them a little freedom with their work can be good for your relationship. How many of you have ever been aggravated when your boss was standing over your shoulder? How many of you have actually worked evening shifts or even night shifts in order to be doing your work with supervisors at home sleep so you didn't have to be bothered? At least upper middle management. Yeah, well, it's a good idea to give the kids some space. More on how we can become even more effective parents in just a few. Or maybe we should say, do more effective parenting.